Welcome to Fresh Coast Jazz Backstage, the show that gives you a chance to hang with today's top contemporary jazz artists. I'm your host, Carl Brown. Welcome to Fresh Coast Jazz Backstage today, everybody. We're really excited about our guest today. She has really made a name for herself on the contemporary jazz scene over the past several years. She's had multiple songs go to the top of the Billboard charts. She's has six albums to my count to her credit. She's been playing a lot of the top festivals and venues in the country and just making great music. In addition to that, she is a professor and she also hosts a radio show. Welcome back to the show, Kim Scott. How are you, Kim?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, we're excited about having you. So we had you on about 2 years ago, and clearly the success has continued to come your way. So congratulations on all that you've been experiencing from a career standpoint.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful and so excited about, you know, all that's happening right now.
Yeah. I think the last time you were on, Shine had reached number one, and now Magic City Streets has been something that's been getting a ton of airplay and doing really well for you. So that level of success doesn't happen for everybody year after year. So have you cracked the code on how this thing operates?
I don't think I've cracked the code. You know, some of my colleagues are like, everything we, you know, you release goes to number one, but it doesn't. A lot of it does well, and I'm so grateful for that. But I think I just have a really great team behind me. I put a lot of thought and I'm very intentional about my product. So a lot of time really making sure it sounds great, it's produced well, that I'm, you know, really writing the things that come to my heart. And I think that, that and the team effort of marketing really makes a difference.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Talk us through a little bit more about that process, right? Because I don't know that, you know, I'm a layperson, you know, I've not been a musician, and I have the fortune of talking to folks like yourself regularly, but I've come to learn that what you guys make look so easy is really pretty complex.
Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean, it's from beginning to end, you know, the easy part is playing our instrument. And even that's not easy because we spend hours and hours practicing and refining and writing, you know, but to actually, you know, finish the song and then choose a producer. And then, you know, if it's not your band, record with, choose the musicians that are going to be on that recording. And then thinking about who's going to mix it, who's going to master it, what is the image look like for branding, and who's going to push the record. I mean, there's so many parts, you know, and you know, really, when you're writing with someone, you know, you're putting your baby in their hand.
Yeah.
So you really have to choose wisely when you're even choosing a producer. You know, I do a lot of background work. You know, I know a lot of people in the industry at this point in my career, but I still study their recording and I study their work and I study their style, because there are certain things that I look for that I want in my music and that I want to complement what I do.
Yeah.
Want to compliment them, and it should be a nice little dance. So there's a lot that goes into it. People get to, you know, enjoy the final product when they listen to it on the radio, you know, all the time, because they have so much joy in what they hear. They don't often think how many hours and how much money was on that one song.
That's a great point. That really is. And I think that, you know, for people like me who are fans of the music, but, you know, may not have all the knowledge, it's great to get an understanding of just what goes in. And plus, the other thing, too, is like the business has changed a lot over the years, too. Like, as artists, like, you can't just be good at playing your instrument or putting on a show. You got to understand from the what was John Witherspoon's words in that one movie, from the Ruta to the Tuta. You got to understand it all, right?
That's so true. You have to be in it to win it. I mean, it is a business, and it's so far beyond just playing that, you know, I've seen a lot of great players not do well in the business. When you really look into what they may or may not be doing, they don't quite understand all the components of the business aspect, you know. So I always, you know, whenever I'm speaking to groups of future musicians or people in the business who want to know more, I always say, do your homework.
Yeah.
There are plenty of resources out there. Just watching other successful musicians is great even. But, you know, even starting with things like the Donald Passman book, Everything You Know About the Music Business, you know, even starting with something like that, because it breaks down every component of what you need to know to make it in the industry or to be success, to have some success in it. There are so many things from choosing a manager, to, you know, how to be marketable to a potential label, how to learn how to do contracts, how to, you know, sign up for the right PRO. You know, a lot of people don't, they got money on the table, just, you know, that hasn't hit their hands because they don't understand how to have a PRO and how to establish an entity as a publisher and a writer and, you know, to be paid for your streams. There's a lot.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But it's great for you too, though. It's like you, as I want to dig into a little bit your role as a professor, like, because like something I do too, I teach marketing. And so like one of the things I'd love about doing that is having this ability to share with young people the reality as well as the theory of what goes into doing something, right?
Yeah, it's important. And they need to know because, you know, that people used to say, you don't learn everything until you get into it. And I'm like, crap. I mean, you do learn a lot on the job, but who wants to go on the job and not be equipped? You're on the job equipped to learn more and to become. So I always tell young people, you know, you have to get as much education on the front end before you get into that business.
Yeah, that is so wise. That is so wise. So we wanted to have you back on because you're going to be playing our Fresh Coast Jazz Festival in August in Milwaukee. So what can fans expect when they come to that show in August that we're all looking forward to?
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it as well. You know, my shows are very high energy. I like to show the joy in music. I want people to have an experience. So it's not going to be just people coming to see me stand in one place and not be engaged with them. I'm going to be talking to the audience. I'm going to be taking them through every range of emotion. They're going to sing with me. They're going to dance, you know, because that's just music makes me happy and it makes me full. So I want them to have that same experience. So people come to my shows and they're like, I didn't know what to expect, but because it's just, I just had a blast. I didn't expect to have that much versatility.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. I know. And I have to tell you this, like I, you know, this podcast has become for me a tool that helps me to like, there's been several artists that we've had on our show that I've interviewed and I've been like, okay, we got to have them. And the hardest thing for me is like, I got like 6 slots to fill every year. Right. So, but you were one of those artists where after I interviewed you the first time, I was like, okay, yeah, we have to have her because you can just tell like people who care so much about the product they're giving to the fans. It comes across for me when I get a chance to interview you and talk to you.
I appreciate that. I'm glad to hear that because it really is genuine. You know, I love to perform. I love engaging with fans. There's nothing better than looking into your audience members' faces and you just see it on their face. Like they are having the vibes. You see them crying, you know. Or you see them singing along, or you know they know every little lick in your song in the recording. Like they do.
Like they've been listening for a minute, huh?
Yeah. So I, you know, I'm just always excited every time I hit the stage, and I don't care what size the stage is, what size the audience. You know, I've played the biggest audiences and I've played, you know, some 60 seaters that I just absolutely adored.
That is fantastic. So have you played Milwaukee before or will this be your first time playing Milwaukee?
This is my first time. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Milwaukee?
No. And I travel a lot.
Yeah.
Milwaukee.
Okay, so I'm gonna tell you this. It's going, I know like you guys don't have a lot of time when you're doing shows. You guys are traveling from point A to point B and usually don't have a lot of time in between. But, you know, Milwaukee is, I think, an underrated city. You know, like all cities, we have our issues and our things. But one of the things that I love about my hometown is the fact that, you know, we've got just a lot of beauty here. We're right on Lake Michigan, beautiful coastline, lots of things to do, great restaurants, and everything is accessible. So
I love that.
Yeah.
Hey, and I'm a...
Okay.
And cheese.
Oh. Did you just say cheese?
I said cheese. I know a little.
All right. So I'm gonna hook you up, Kim. I'm gonna hook you up. Okay. So foodie wise, okay. So what kind of cuisines?
Well, here's the thing. I love, because I travel so much, I get to try foods from all over the world. So I love every, Chinese food. I love Indian food. I love Greek food. And of course I love soul food.
Yeah. Okay.
I love French food.
Okay. So here's what we're going to have to do. I don't know what your schedule is going to be like when you're in Milwaukee and where you're off to next, but just a couple of blocks from the venue that you're playing is this great little cheese shop, okay? So we're going to have to make sure we get you over to that cheese shop and they can pack up some stuff for you and get it shipped to you wherever you want it shipped to, okay? Because they have all kinds of stuff, right? And then I'll talk to you about this thing we do with artists who can make it. We do a dinner, and a buddy of mine owns, just to me, what is the best Italian restaurant in town. And the night before, on the Thursday night of the festival, we sometimes, when artists have time, we'll take them, some of them, there for dinner. So I'll talk to you offline about that one. So
that would be great. Hey, what? The festival weekend is my birthday week.
Is it really? Okay. So what day is your birthday?
Actually, it's the 26th.
So it's the 26th. Okay, that Monday. Okay. Mine is August 29th. So we are kindred souls here. Okay. So, well, we're going to have to hook you up then. This is your birthday. I'm going to tell my wife. My wife going to take care of you. She handles all the hospitality stuff, and she does a good job. So I'm going to tell her it's Kim's birthday that weekend, babe. So,
we're
going to make sure you're going to want to come back to Milwaukee.
Hey, you know, I've always enjoyed talking to you over the years. So,
yeah.
Hey, it's just a phone call.
Yeah, there we go. I love that. Well, let's take a listen to that song that's done so well for you recently. How about we play Magic City Streets?
Let's do it.
Thank you. All right, everybody, that was our guest today, Kim Scott, with her hit song, Magic City Streets. So, Kim, I got to learn a little bit about the origin of that song and where the idea of that song came from.
Yeah, that's a great inquiry. So I always wanted to work with Paul Brown. I reached out to Paul last year and I said, hey, I've got these ideas. And, you know, would you be interested in working with me? And he was like, yeah, when can you come to my studio?
Okay, cool.
Ready for that response, but I was really excited. But he, in the meantime, before going to his studio, he said, I'm going to send you a couple of grooves and whatever speaks to you, you know, choose that and then go ahead and write. So I listened to maybe two or three, but one groove, and it was the groove for Magic City Streets, just stuck out. Immediately it drew me in, you know, because I'm a soulful girl. I love a good bass line. I love it to be funky. It's kind of old school. So I started writing to it. Initially, it did have a title, even though it was just keys and drums and all. And it was called Magic. So I called Paul and I said, hey, Magic is cool, but I'm from Birmingham, as you know, and the nickname of Birmingham is the Magic City.
Yeah.
I said, I really want to, you know, pay homage to my city. It's so spirited and so smooth and cool. And this song reminds me, the melody and the chorus that I came up with reminds me of my city. Agreed to that. And that's how, you know, Magic City Streets came to be. So I always say it's one of those, you know, songs you ride in your car with the top down.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. It's one of those that for me, I know the neighbors might get a little upset because I'm coming through the neighborhood with it on full blast, you know. And so I know my neighbors sometimes are like, will you please turn your music down, sir? You know, but I'm sorry. I just got to do it that way. And that's cool, though, when a song like that hits you. And Paul is a funky cat, too. Right. He played our festival last year. And got a little chance to get to know him a little bit. And he's been on the show. And that dude is just the music is just flowing from that man.
It is. And he is one of the sweetest people you ever want to meet. You know, you meet him and you think he's kind of that personality kind of off, you know, not off. So doesn't want to interact. But once you know him, he is so kind and so down to earth. He and his wife. He has all that soul. You know his story, a little bit of his story. You know, I can't remember if it was Sony or Warner Brothers, but he used to work with Luther Vandross, Al Jarreau, you know, so all that stuff is in him, you know. Work, of course, with Norman Brown. You name it, he's probably worked with them, but it comes out of him. You know,
it really does. It's pretty amazing to witness that. So when you released that song, or any song for that matter, like, do you kind of have a sense that, oh, yeah, this one's going to be big, or yeah, I'm not quite sure what's going to happen with this one? Like, do you ever think about that? Do you just hey, I love this. I'm releasing it. And I'm doing this because I'm comfortable with this. I know that's a part of it, but.
I love everything I record.
Yeah, sure.
No, but I'm very intentional when I finish a record. I choose the four singles right off the top that I want to push from that record. And sometimes, yeah, I'm like, oh yeah, hands down, it's a hit. And most often that is my response when I'm here, I've chosen it for radio. You know, are you always right? No, because you just never know. It, or, you know, if radio is going to feel it like you feel it. But I've been very fortunate that they have been feeling it, you know. But yeah, there are some songs like Shine. Shine actually was on the airwaves for, good Lord, almost a year was spinning. It got up to number two on Billboard. The week that we knew it was going to hit number one, it did not. One spin away.
Wow.
Then it dropped. So I was devastated because I knew that song when I wrote it was a game changer. Like, you know, I'm really particular about my style and my sound. I don't want to sound like anybody else on the radio. So I write as authentically as possible. But of course, the song ended up being Song of the Year. You know, but still, sometimes it works out like that. Sometimes the spins don't quite add up. But I am strategic about choosing songs. And the next song that's coming out is one of those songs where I was like, yeah, man.
Okay.
This is one. It's going to go.
Oh, we can't wait for that. That so is I'm excited. Awesome.
It's called Like Butter.
Okay. All right. All right. Ooh. Ooh. Okay. All right.
I wrote it with Michael Browning.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it featured Jeff Ryan on set.
Well, we had Jeff at the festival last year, too. And Michael, I've had Michael on the show. And my goodness, Michael has been like hit after hit after hit over the past couple of years. Like, he's just been racking and stacking.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited. So when can we expect to hear that one, Kim?
So that one comes out the last week of March.
Okay.
I think for me, the release date is March the 29th.
Okay. So we just got a couple weeks to wait. Ooh, can't wait. Can't wait. So with all of this success you have had over the last couple of years, and you've been honing your craft for a minute here. Like, has life changed for you over the last couple of years with everything that's been, all the positive stuff that's been happening?
I can say that it has.
Yeah.
As far as me personally, and I like to try to stay humble. I try to be as grounded as possible, you know, sometimes to the point that sometimes when I wake up in the morning, my husband goes, "Are you excited?" You know, because we would have just gotten a great call or a great ask. And I'm like, he was like, "Well, why are you not like?" And I said, "Well, I had that moment on the inside and I'm very grateful and I prayed about it and I thank God for it, but I want to stay grounded. So I got work to do and I'm just going to keep going." But some of the things that have changed, and, you know, I guess it comes with the territory, but when I'm out with my family or when I'm just out, somebody's going to know who I am. And sometimes that just, you know, that's hard because sometimes I don't want to wear makeup. You know, I don't want to dress up all the time. I'm like, I'm just going to Walmart. But it happens so regularly. You know, people will stop and go, "I know who you are," or "I listen to you every day," or "I have all your albums." I'm like, that is weird, because you think of that with pop stars, you know, I'm a jazz flutist, you know, but that's been the biggest thing, that and just, you know, getting a lot of fan mail, every age group.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, usually the jazz crew is the 50, 45 and up. I'm starting to get messages on social media and email from 20 somethings and, you know, middle school, who their parents play the music and they are like, "I love this stuff." You know, I'm like, wow. So that's been really cool.
That has got to be fantastic, you know, and I think that, you know, I remember last time we talked, we were talking about your, you know, how much you practice, right? And nobody sees, like, we see the finished product, but we don't see the hours and the toil and everything behind it. So it's got to be gratifying, though, too, to be having all of these experiences now where, you know, people are outwardly showing their appreciation for the work you do.
Yeah, it's very, I'm very grateful for that. You know, I'm not one that looks for compliments, that a lot of this I do share. I don't look for, I'm very grateful.
Yeah. That's a great way to be. That's a great way to be. Well, let's do this. Why don't we play another one of your songs? How about we check out Shine? right, ladies and gentlemen, that was today's guest, Kim Scott, with her hit song, Shine, that we were just talking a little bit about. So, Kim, last time we were on, we had you play our game, Bout It or Doubt It. Can we get you to do another go around of that?
I remember, yes.
All right. I started this body. If you bout it, get them up. I mean you body body. I mean you body. We say you body
body. I represent. It's 1990s. I doubt it.
All right, so we're going to spin the wheel, get you a category, then we'll ask you a couple questions, okay?
Okay.
Let's do it. All right, Kim, this time your category is travel. I don't remember what your category was last time, but this time it's travel. So, Bout It or Doubt It, cruises.
Doubt It.
Yeah, okay, okay. It sounds like you got some experience there, huh?
I love cruises. If I could cruise every year, I just love getting on that ship and having no worries. Yeah, it's super luxurious for me.
Yeah, good for you. Is there a port in Birmingham? Do cruises leave from Birmingham?
No, but we can go to Mobile, which is only about... for me.
Okay, that's cool. And so, favorite cruise destination, do you have one?
Ooh, Cozumel.
Oh yeah, that's fun. I've cruised there a few times myself. That's a good time. Yeah, good. Okay, all right, good. Yeah, one more. Bout it or doubt it, Dubai.
I would be so bad.
Yeah, okay.
I haven't had a chance to go yet. I've been wanting to do their jazz festival out there. So I could spend an extra week and tour, you know, just so beautiful. The people, the colors, the food, the attire. Yeah.
I've never been myself. I have a niece who was just there for 10 days and came back and just raved about it. All the things you talked about, too, the people, the food, you know, all of the sights, you know, like, you know, she did this dinner in the sky thing and she did the dune buggies in the desert and rode the camels and, you know, like she immersed herself in it. It looked like a blast.
It does. You know, it's been a hot spot for a couple of years now. So, you know, I've got quite a few friends who've gone. I'm like, that is definitely a bucket list item.
Yeah. With traveling so much for your work, do you get a chance to get out and travel for pleasure with your family and things like that? Or?
Yeah. We really have to be intentional about family time. So we try to build into the schedule around all the tours, family trips, at least 3 times a year. So we are going to Italy in May.
Oh, fantastic.
With the family.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's going to be fun. Yeah. Like, I suppose, though, like, I think traveling is for work. It's not glamorous. I think a lot of people think it's glamorous, right? And it's the early hotel lobby calls and it's the schlubbing of your instruments around and gear and stuff sometimes.
That is so glamorous. No. Oh.
And I love talking to, I love artists that there's some artists, like you just mentioned Jeff Ryan. Like when Jeff was here in Milwaukee, Jeff was so much fun because he made sure that he squoze in time to go do some things, right? And enjoy himself. Yes. And work out. Yes. Work out. And that my guy, he went on the artist dinner with us that year, Jeff and Lynn Roundtree. And it was so much fun hanging out with those guys. It was so much fun hanging out with those guys.
Both of them are such characters. I love them both.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Not just great artists, but just great people too. So with all this success you've been having, tell me how you've been celebrating your successes.
How do I celebrate? You know what? I'm celebrating with my family. Like, we always try to champion each other and celebrate even the small wins.
Yeah, that's great.
Really big. You know, I think the biggest thing I've ever done, and we only did it because my husband made me do it. When Shine was the number one, he was like, these moments don't come often. And some people have these moments. So he threw me a Song of the Year celebration.
That's cool.
And it was at one of the local jazz spots here, the Perfect Note. And we opened it up to the public.
That is so cool.
around, and he had hired decorators, and I walk in and all of my billboard plaques are on the stage, and Faye Jackson was there to perform, and you know, and he interviewed me in front of all these people. Like, I'm your wife. He was like, people need to know your story and celebrate you.
Man, I'm digging your husband. I like your husband.
He's amazing.
He is fantastic.
Yeah, you'll get to meet him. He'll be with me in
November. I so look forward to it. And for those of y'all that don't know, y'all got some players in Birmingham.
Oh my goodness.
Y'all got some straight out like killers.
We bring the heat.
I mean, PJ and Eric Essex and like
Sean McRae.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. And you know what? They're the nicest people you ever want to meet too. Just Southern mentality, good spirited. I've known them for so many years. In fact, all of them have been on my albums. So they and Sean are actually regulars in my band. They are in my band. Eric has been on maybe the last three albums of mine. And, you know, Kelvin Wooten, who just won his first couple of Grammys recently, has produced all but one of my projects.
So how do you guys, like, clearly working together is one way you support one another, but how else do you guys support one another? Because it does seem like you're a very close-knit group. And I've had conversations with PJ and with Eric and just salt of the earth folk, but so like you and so talented. How do you guys support one another?
Any way we can, when we have time. You know, they know they can call me at any point. You know, if there's something I can do for them, I do it. You know, PJ will call and say, hey, I need you to lay some tracks down for me. Okay, great. You know, PJ and his wife, you know, we invited them to our church. Now they're members of our church.
That's great.
Eric Essex and his wife is a photographer, and Eric has gotten back into photography. So he was like, hey, do you mind if me and my wife take pictures of you just as a practice for us to work on lighting? Sure, I'm always, you know. So you know, we really are like sisters and brothers. And when there are performance opportunities, you know, we go to each other first.
Yeah.
Each other.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. So you've had a chance that you've collaborated with some folks in the past, but are there folks out there that you're like, man, I'm dying to work with this person or that person?
Yeah. I would say Gerald Albright, who I'm excited. We have a show together coming up. I would love to collaborate with Jeff Lorber.
Okay. Yeah.
And Robert Glasper.
Oh, yeah. I was just before coming into the studio today. Robert has his Napa Valley event the week after our festival. And I'm looking for a place to take my wife after our festival. And I was just looking at Robert's event. So we may get a chance to go out to the Blue Note in Napa for his jazz festival.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you will not be disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been something else. I got a chance to see him many, many years ago. And just was like amazed at the musician that he is. So speaking of that, like, do you, as a musician whose job it is to in part put on concerts, do you go to concerts? Do you get a chance to go and sit and enjoy music of others?
I don't get to go very often anymore, but I try, you know, when I can, I try very hard. So I think the last concert was maybe about 3 weeks ago. I went to see Shantae Moore.
Oh, cool.
Beautiful show. Her MD used to be my MD, Wes Burke. Wanted to go out and support him. And of course, I do love Shantae. So that was great. But yeah, I don't get to go very often. Every time there's a great artist coming through, or even if they have a show, you know, there are a couple of shows I want to go to in Vegas, but I have no room in my schedule to go.
Yeah. So break it down for our listeners so that I want them to really kind of understand, like, what is a week like for you, Kim? Like, you talk about that no room in your schedule, but really doing a radio show, being a professor, recording artist, being a touring artist, like where do you fit things in with all of that stuff going on?
You know what? I am like a master organizer.
Okay. Okay.
That's the only way it works. If I keep a calendar and a schedule and I stick to that, then I know what I need to do at every moment. And I just start getting things done. It's when I don't have that schedule that I get overwhelmed. But a typical day for me is kind of crazy. If for for a normal person's, you know, idea of what you do in a day. But so I guess like 9 to 4, I am an administrator. I'm a full-time administrator at an art school. No longer in the classroom, but I still teach flute. I'm not giving that up. I actually am heads of the school. So administrative work all day, meetings, you name it, running staff, supporting staff. But when I get home, I am mom and wife, so I have to cook dinner.
Yeah.
You know, check on the kid, make sure homework is done, house is clean. I still cook. I cook at least 4 days a week at my house. But after I cook, my husband knows I'm going to practice. I spend, you know, an hour or two in my practice area, get that done. My practice is very focused. I know the things I have to do because I don't have a lot of time to waste, you know, and then I may catch up on some work, you know, do some radio show stuff, preparing for the recording, because we actually record in our studio and we send it out to all the stations across the country. So, you know, today, busy day, just before I got with you at 1 o'clock for the interview for our interview, I had to practice here at work because I needed even more time because I have so many shows coming up and they're all different shows this month. So I'm like, I have got to find more time in the day. So I actually had to steal away from my lunch to practice.
Yeah.
Tonight. So, you know, you have to be so devoted and disciplined as a musician. A lot of people don't understand that. It's not like we wake up and we got all the notes. We have to actually play as many days of the week, as many hours as we can to, develop our sound and make sure our tone is strong and our technique is strong. Learning all the reps. So it's a lot of work.
Yeah. I've seen this in action. I've seen at our festival, I've seen artists who have been on the road for weeks. They come into the town to do the show. They go and do their sound check and they're checking everything meticulously. But then like just the seconds before they go on stage, they're still working on something. They're still practicing. They're still trying to make sure that just one note is the way they want it to be or whatever, right? And it's a never ending thing. But I guess, you know, but I see you, somebody like yourself and other artists, like there's nothing else you'd rather do, is there?
No, I'm living the dream.
Yeah.
I really am. I'm so grateful to just be able to play music and share music. I couldn't think of doing anything else.
That's fantastic. Well, that is fantastic. Well, we got time for one more song. How about we play Off the Top?
Let's do it. I love Off the Top. I love them all.
All right. Thank you. That was today's guest, Kim Scott, with her song Off the Top. So, Kim, you've got a lot of tour dates this summer. How do you go about selecting dates that you want to do that you, man, maybe, you know, is it all about scheduling and timing, or are there other factors that go into that?
Just a couple of factors. Yeah. Scheduling, timing. Is it a venue or a festival or something that has a really good reputation? Would it be good for me to have visibility there? Would it expand my audience or my brand? I look into all of those things because I have a full-time job, I have to be selective about that as well. And because I still have a child at home, my son will graduate this year, so it'll be different next year. But there's a lot to manage because that family is important to us. And I want to make sure, you know, we have that time as well. But yeah, this season's going to be crazy, though. 24 into 25. I mean, I really don't have many more dates that I can even take in 23. And we've already booked a lot of 2025.
Yeah. So,
it's going to be very, very busy.
Yeah. Good for you. Well, it's great, though, to see someone like you, who is such a genuinely nice person and talented person, getting all these opportunities and being recognized for all that you really have put into and that you've earned over the years, because it's been hard work.
I appreciate that. Thank you. You know, every phone call we get, we're thankful for, whether we are able to take it or not.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So with all the work, though, tell me what your guilty pleasures are. You got to have some in there. Can't work all the time.
I mean, I'm such a music nerd. My guilty pleasure is practicing. Like, if I can just practice for the fun of it and sight and play duets, like, I would do that. But my other guilty pleasure is just traveling. I love going to the beach with my family, you know, just renting a beach house and just chilling for 4 or 5 days. You know, I love that. Going to the Caribbean is my guilty pleasure.
Okay. Are there certain, I know we talked about Cozumel on the cruise side. Are there other spots in the Caribbean that are favorites of you and your family?
My husband and I love Jamaica.
Yeah.
Love to go, you know, Negril, Ocho Rios, you name it.
Uh-huh.
We have our favorite spots out there that we go to, and we try to go at least once a year.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Now, when you're there, are you doing, like, you've been many times, it sounds like, and so you probably have your spots and your things that you do, right?
Yeah. So I'm an adrenaline junkie, and my husband is so not the adrenaline junkie. So we have had to make an agreement. You know, every other year we do all the excursions. I am, let's bungee jump, let's do, you know, and my husband's like, can we just stay at the resort?
Yeah, right. I like your husband even more, man. A man that I would relate to.
So we have a little compromise, and that's how we roll.
Yeah, that's cool. The last time I went to Jamaica, I did something that I like to get off the beaten path, right? Like, I like to go to places that are like non-touristy spots, right? And so we hired a driver and said, take us to hang out where you hang out. And I think we're in the grill maybe, right? And so he took us up into the mountains, right? And we went to this little place where it was a little restaurant and bar where they were literally doing chickens to make jerk chicken. And we hung out there for about 6 hours with just people who live there and had the greatest time, just the coolest time. And it wasn't a fancy restaurant or anything, but man, the food was wonderful. The conversation was great. Like, the music was fantastic. It was just one of the coolest vibes ever.
I bet. See, I would totally do something like that.
Yeah. I love getting off the beaten path when I travel. I love that. Not just doing the touristy thing. So, what do you have, other than the touring dates? Like, I know you got some new music coming out. What else can fans be looking forward to from you over the next year or so, Kim?
Over the next year or so, you know, doing different types of shows. You know, I'm starting a lot of work with orchestras. I play with a symphony here in Alabama. But now orchestras are starting to ask me to do a jazz and classical feature. Things
great.
Like, in 2 weeks, I'm going to Oregon to solo with the Newport Symphony. And the first half of the program, I'm actually playing a Vivaldi Piccolo Concerto orchestra. And the second half of the program, we've had Dr. Henry Panion arrange Shine rite of passage and back together again for me and the orchestra.
That's going
to
be cool.
We're doing a lot of stuff like that these days in addition to the jazz concert. So people should listen out for that. Look out for those dates. But also, you know, as you mentioned earlier, I'm working on my next album. It's called Living It Up. So it's going to come out, I think the top of 25. So we're thinking about maybe three singles being released in 24 for people to get, you know, excited about.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Might we hear any of those new singles in Milwaukee?
I was thinking about it. Let's see. By August? Oh, definitely. Okay. You'll definitely.
Okay.
There's a lot. People can actually subscribe to my newsletter on my website. ScottMusic.com. If they scroll all the way to the bottom, they'll click on the newsletter link. Just put their email address in there and they'll be in the know for everything. But also, you know, everywhere on social media. So Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you name it, X, which I want to say Twitter every time. X.
Me too. I'm still stuck on Twitter too.
So I'd love for everybody to follow me on all of those. And, you know, they'll get down to the minute information on there as well.
Fantastic. Well, Kim, I want to thank you. It's always a pleasure getting to chop it up with you. And I really appreciate your time. I want to thank you again for coming on today. And we cannot wait to see you in Milwaukee on Friday, August 23rd.
Thank you so much, Carl. I'm looking forward to it as well. And thank you for an awesome interview today.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And everybody, make sure you get your tickets now. They're on sale already for the 5th Annual Fresh Coast Jazz Festival, Thursday, August 22nd through Saturday, August 24th, featuring today's guests Kim Scott, Boney James, Kirk Whalum, Nathan Mitchell, Ryan Lavalette, Lamech, Quentin Gerard W., Andrea Lisa, D. Lucas, and Marcus Adams. For tickets and information, go to freshcoastjazz.com. I also want to take a moment to thank our original and ongoing sponsor of the Fresh Coast Jazz Festival, Laffy Lightner & Good LLG, is Milwaukee's premier civil litigation firm with a national reputation for big firm results for its clients. Their relentless commitment to clients in the courtroom is matched only by their authentic and consistent commitment to their Milwaukee home. Thanks, LLG, for supporting Fresh Coast Jazz. That's our show for this week. Be sure to check out our website, freshcoastjazz.com, to sign up for our email list so you can stay up on what's going on with contemporary jazz. We'll see you next time on Fresh Coast Jazz Backstage.